So I'm going to be talking about a project, a multi-phase project that has been funded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So that would be the only thing I have to disclose, that CDC was involved in this project. I wanted to give a little bit about my background because I am a public health person working in the built environment planning transportation field, and I'm wondering if folks in the room can raise their hands if you have been formally trained in planning or built environment work. Cool. And then most of the other people are formally trained in public health? Raising hands? Mostly? Okay, good. So I'm hoping that everyone's here today because they're really interested in where these two meet. And I was in a session yesterday where someone showed a sticker of "This is public health," and I'm hoping that more of us, and through my work with planners and the membership organization for planners, and all of us here can help planners and transportation professionals think more about how they are public health professionals too. So basically, I approach this work and APA approaches this work from a social determinants of health model where we're looking at how the built environment is really one of the main factors in our lives that can determine our health, as well as the interaction with economic factors and family factors and very local community factors. It's a snapshot of our website if anybody's interested in visiting later. And through the work in planning and researching comprehensive planning specifically, which I'll go into, these are the list of partners that we came up with through the research, and I'm sure this list could be much longer, but looking at both the government partners, potential for government partners at all levels and through all the topics and departments, as well as non-government partners and the community groups and the foundations and the bike ped groups that we found to be involved in this work are all potential partners that we can think about reaching out to and connecting with for getting this work done. So as I mentioned, it's a multi-phase study. The first phase was a survey. The second phase was an evaluation of comprehensive plans themselves. And the third phase was case studies. And when Lindsay was speaking, actually, I came to mind that I didn't actually include a slide with the definition of comprehensive planning. So very briefly, for those of you who haven't worked directly on comp plans, they are a long-term visioning plan for a community, for a region, or for a region, which include components for transportation, housing, parks and recreation, capital improvement ideas, goals for the future. And so they're set out with a series of goals for each of those sections, say for housing, series of goals for housing, and then under those goals are specific objectives and policy aims that are how we want to actually implement those goals. So APA a few years ago in 2010 did a survey of comprehensive plans or of communities across the U.S. of their comprehensive plans to find out the extent to which they included public health and what topics they included under that umbrella of public health. And the topics that are highlighted in yellow, all of the topics that are listed were the topics we were asking about. The topics highlighted in yellow were the ones that came to the fore as the most covered topics in public health. And I didn't have the numbers on here, but we had about 900 responses from communities across the United States. It was voluntary to the planning departments, and only about 24% of those included anything about health in their comp plan or their sustainability plan. We're also looking at sustainability plans. So that was everything from they mentioned health in their vision, we want to have a healthier community, and then no mention of health in the rest of the plan, to extremely detailed inclusion of a health chapter. So the survey was a very broad swath of what's out there back in 2010 for adopted plans. Then we moved on to do an evaluation of plans. So taking from that pool of 24% of 800 of 900 plans, we actually read 22 plans. So to do this, I developed a framework for what public health topics we were looking for, drilling down a little bit more specifically from that list on the previous slide, and identifying some of the common goals and policies across the plans, as well as what was missing. And we also wanted to assess the extent to which those plans were covering those policies in detail. So, and in detail and in with some teeth. So were there implementation measures attached to those policies? Was there a funding stream identified? Were there roles and responsibilities for who was actually going to implement that plan? These are the topics that we were looking at. None of these should be a surprise to folks here. We also included a broad issues category to look at. Was health included in the vision for the plan? This is a plan that's seeing a vision for your community, your city or your county, or sometimes at the MPO level for the next 30 years. Was health included in that vision? Was health included in the background data that was used to identify what the issues are in the community? Was health used in the guiding principles for the plan? These are the 22 plans that we looked at. Don't have to memorize them, but just to show there was quite a coverage across the United States. They're alphabetical by name of city. And the ones that are starred are sustainability plans rather than comprehensive plans. And there's also, you can look at the dates, there was also quite a coverage of time. So you'd imagine that plans that were adopted in the late 90s would have possibly less coverage of public health than hopefully the plans that are adopted in more recent times. So from that evaluation, we found a series of plan strengths and weaknesses or areas for improvement. And we saw that active living in the category for health, active living was the most well represented across all of the 22 plans that we looked at. And it was addressed in different chapters in the plan. So it was addressed in the parks and open space chapter. It was addressed in the urban design chapter, which some plans have an urban design element or chapter. Obviously in the transportation or circulation element, it was very well addressed. And then some plans actually had health and healthy communities chapters. So those chapters were either totally independent chapters that covered health topics, or in the case of a couple of communities, they were actually chapters made up of all the policies drawn from the rest of the plan and put in one place so that you could flip to that page and read all of the health policies that were in the plan, but they were actually dispersed throughout these different chapters. So environmental health was also quite well covered. Lindsay mentioned that safety and air quality in particular are things that have been addressed for some time. So we saw a lot of goals around traditional concepts of we want to have clean air in our town and what can we do to get there. And then we also saw that emergency preparedness, which is an emerging topic for public health interests, when it was included in the plan, it was very comprehensively included. So, for example, the Palm Beach plan from Florida had a very good emergency preparedness chapter. And that's clear because they've been experiencing emergencies for some time, so they've decided and discovered that it's to their benefit to assess the topic well and include it in their comp plan rather than just be responding all the time. So when it was included, it was very specific and did include some of the more acute public health goals around infectious disease prevention and safety that we would like to see. And when similarly to when plans addressed food planning, food systems issues, they also did so very comprehensively with goals and timelines and more likely to look at food insecurity and include health data that they hadn't that they didn't include when the plans did not include food systems policies. And we found that plans in general that had a standalone health chapter, however they constructed it, whether it be a collection of policies from the rest of the plan or it's a chapter unto itself, that when they had that public health chapter, that overall the plan was much stronger for public health and had a greater inclusion and awareness of public health. And then we also found we were looking at, I was interested in how plans are written. So I'm trained in public health I had to kind of teach myself planning. So I wanted to see how readable are these plans if you're not a planner. And we actually found that they were pretty readable, which I was very happy to see, that they were written in accessible language that I would think that most community folks could follow. So areas for improvement. As I mentioned, food and nutrition and emergency preparedness were not included very often. When they were strong, but generally they just simply were not. And then we also, in the health and human services category and social and mental health, found very few even small-level policies, let alone goals around improving mental health, social cohesion, or even access to care. I thought that we would find maybe, you know, around health, some of the more traditional concept of health, which is, well, at least we need to make sure that people can get to hospitals and get to clinics. And even those kinds of goals were not very powerfully included in the plan. So that was unfortunate. And then we also, we were just looking at the comprehensive plan. So this is a limitation of the study that I should mention. We were just reading the comprehensive plan. We weren't looking at all of the attendant materials and possibly maps and other data that was used to inform the plan. So while I say that this is an area of improvement for within the plan, it might actually have been included in other parts of the planning process that I just didn't see. So I was looking at the plan as my data point, I guess, as it were, and not all of the other information. So it would be great if the plans themselves were to include some of that data that they were using to inform the plan-making process, especially mapping to show differences in health outcomes across the jurisdiction, differences in socioeconomic status across the jurisdiction, as well as distribution of resources, access to grocery stores, access to healthcare, et cetera. So I mentioned that even in plans that had a strong health component, that we didn't see a lot of the data inclusion. Crime statistics would have been nice to see, as well as injury rates and how those services were distributed across the community. And then even plans with strong public health-oriented policies didn't include benchmarks and metrics for where we want to be in the future, which is kind of pointless. How do you track the success of a plan? How do you track where you're at in terms of development in your community if you don't have a benchmark or a metric for where you want to be, where we are now, where we want to be? Even to the extent of we want to reduce obesity in our community by X percent by the year that the plan is looking out to. And then we, as I mentioned, a lot of the plans lack those implementation strategies, the teeth that really make it have meaning and make it easier to track timelines. A couple of example policy approaches which I think are interesting in Fort Worth, Texas, has a really strong health element to their plan. They have a chapter dedicated to health, and it is a standalone chapter. It doesn't include policies that are throughout the plan, but the chapter itself addresses nearly all the aspects of health that were listed earlier, which was great to see. And this is a snapshot of the cover of the health chapter for their comprehensive plan, which they actually update every 2 years in Fort Worth, which is very frequent for updating a comprehensive plan. And as such, they have really kept with the times and have started to include health and look at their health metrics as they go. This is one of the ones that actually has some metrics included. In Raleigh, they spread health throughout the plan, so you can see that it was included in the urban design chapter, it was included in the housing chapter, that's H for housing, not H for health, and environmental protection, I believe, is the EP. And so they had, and it's interesting to see that in the environmental section is where they included farmers markets and agriculture, and then in housing, and housing is where they included access to health care, and then urban design is about a safe pedestrian environment. In Grand Rapids, I thought this was a sustainability plan the whole time I was reading it, because all of the elements of the plan and the goals in the plan were listed as what is the environmental benefit of this goal, what is the economic, and then what are the quality of life benefits for this goal, which was really fantastic to see in a comprehensive plan, identifying the quality of life benefits for each of the goals, and put right up there equal to the economic and the environmental benefits. And one of the great things about Raleigh, about Grand Rapids that we learned later when doing some case study work, is that they actually use the planning process to collect some data, which is what you're supposed to do in the planning, in the comprehensive planning process. But it was wonderful to see that they really did. They took the opportunity to do a tree inventory and see what their tree canopy was in the city of Grand Rapids. And they used the language of quality of life throughout the plan, which was, again, you know, if they're identifying the quality of life benefits, and then they continue to use that language throughout the plan. And it really reinforced health in the plan. And then we also learned that in Grand Rapids, a local foundation partnered with the planning process and really helped advance the planning process so that it was more robust than it would have been otherwise. So that's an example of a good partnership that occurred. And then the involvement of the foundation has continued after the plan has been adopted, and they've continued and helped with the implementation. So that leads me right into the case studies that we did just this past year, and the report is being posted this coming week. The other two reports on the survey and the plan evaluation are already posted on our website. And these are the list of the communities that we looked at for the case studies. So there was 7 case studies, and this is just some basic census data to show the economic situation, the racial makeup of these different communities, how many people are receiving SNAP benefits, et cetera, to show that we were looking at places that were pretty diverse and weren't just the same city in different parts of the country. And we had one county included as well, Baltimore County. So we broke the key findings into these categories, and I'm not going to talk about all of the categories, of course, but context and timing was very important. The use of data was very important. I wanted to investigate how much data was used and how, and then collaboration with other entities, as I mentioned on that slide, very at the beginning, who are they partnering with, how are they funding this, and then what are some of the things that they've actually started to implement from the plan. So it's great to make a plan, but then you kind of have to make it happen by implementing it. So context and timing, we found that the insertion, when did health become part of the picture? And when the plan was being updated. So as I mentioned, Fort Worth, for example, does their update every 2 years. Baltimore County was working on a 10-year update, so they hadn't updated their comprehensive plan in 10 years. So quite a lot had changed in that time, and it was a time for outside groups to become involved and fight for parks and open space and ask for other health-related things like bicycle infrastructure and better pedestrian safety tactics. And then we also found that data can spur action. So in one place, which I can't recall which one at the moment, Chino, California, their health department had come out with a study on the health status, particularly around chronic disease in their city. And that really helped raise the awareness in the community about the importance of health and chronic disease and what are the determinants of chronic disease, which actually fed into the planning process because it happened to be taking place at the same time. So, as I mentioned, the planning process is a great time to collect data. It's a wonderful opportunity, as well as partnering with hospitals or health departments on community health needs assessments. In Dubuque, Iowa, which is one of the case study cities, they have been doing a community health needs assessment in partnership, their health department in partnership with one of their hospital groups for 10 years now. So they were able to bring that information into the planning process, and they've had a long-standing relationship with their planning department, which is at the city level, the health department at the county level. As we know, that can be an issue with the different levels of government having communication with one another. But really, the results of the community health needs assessment found their way into the comprehensive plan, which was fantastic to see. But as Lindsay mentioned, data is constantly a challenge and difficult to find health data at the very discrete city level, especially if the health department's at the county level and collecting data there. So collaboration, we found that one of the ways that health got into the plan was through interdepartmental working groups, having the parks people and the health people and the maybe even the public works people and the transportation people talk with the planning department and have open dialogues about what's important to them and then what's the common language that we can use to address health. And in a couple of places, Fort Worth is an example, they actually had this partner collaboration to apply for funding for the community transformation grant funding, which they didn't end up getting, but the process of applying for funding to implement some of the goals in their plan brought the departments together and have created this relationship that's been ongoing, which is really cool to see that that happened as a result of applying for funds, which money will definitely get people to talk and hang out. These are some of the other projects and initiatives that got folks to collaborate. So for funding, we wanted to find out how were projects being funded, and I was really excited to see, and of course CDC being the folks who were supporting me in this work, really excited to see that CDC funding was behind a lot of the health initiatives that were included in planning. Therefore, CDC's goals to include health are actually happening. The Community Transformation Grant, the Achieve Project, the Communities Putting Prevention to Work Project, and then partnerships with HUD and the FTA New Starts program even included some transit-oriented development goals and policies. And state grants and local bonds were also used to fund the plan making and some of the implementation measures that were happening. This is a really great project in Grand Rapids. It was put together with community CDBG, Community Development Block Grants money, as well as money for stormwater. And so they have this wonderful stormwater infrastructure underneath the park. They were able to redo the park. You can see the before and after there. And it's a wonderful amenity now in the community. So here's a couple of implementation actions that have actually taken place. In Raleigh, they changed their development code to require sidewalks. This was rocket science for Raleigh, to actually require sidewalks on both sides of the street and different widths depending on the part of town you were in. And that was, it was really big. You know, this is really important for public health, for being active, for being outside, and for being safe. Grand Rapids painted new bike lanes. Dubuque is installing green roofs on their municipal buildings. In Philadelphia, we found a good, for emergency preparedness, they are changing their code for new floor area bonuses for development and redevelopment to according to LEED. But again, this has wonderful benefits for sustainability and reaction to climate change and emergencies. And there were many great policies around food and nutrition and expanding the accessibility of farmers markets, the connection between farms and local markets in general, and tying it to health and healthy eating and obesity prevention. So key areas for improvement, these are very similar to the key areas for improvement that I mentioned prior. Having better data, better use of data, and having better data accessibility, doing more outreach focused on health, and addressing mental health and social cohesion more in your policies and goals. So recommendations are, of course, to cross-hire, have health people working in planning departments, have planner people working in health departments. It will help improve the language and understanding and the lexicon between the two and have better connections between the two so that you don't have to form these new interagency working groups every time and reinvent the wheel. And then also, actually, the Planning Commission is a pretty powerful entity in a lot of places for shaping the plan. It's often independent from the Planning Department, and so if we can co-opt more Planning Commission members to fight for health, then we'll have better and stronger plans for health. So I mentioned data. Determine indicators to track progress and really use those, and also be flexible over time as you start to implement the plan and see what's happening on the ground. Those can change. And then write responsibilities into the plan. I wanted to mention one other thing that I've worked on with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is a healthy community design toolkit. And this has these four components. There's the web address there. It's sponsored by the National Centers for Environmental Health. And it really is a very hands-on guide that planners can use to find health data, create a health profile of their community, inform the communication that they have with the public about health, and the different components that relate to planning specifically. We're having our conference in April, and we're going to be covering a lot of health at that conference. I'm organizing a symposium on health at the planning conference, which is really exciting. And then lastly, at the bottom, we have a free course for health impact assessment training, which I encourage anybody to look up. You can find it just by Googling it, probably, hopefully. And it's a six-hour course. You can get credit, continuing ed credit for it with CHES or with AICP, and you can learn how to do HIA in a planning context. Thank you very much. Injuring myself all week, and apparently I'm just going to continue to do it. Does anybody have any initial questions before?
We'll time for questions at the end.
Okay. Yeah.
Quick question. Length of comp plans, if they're reading over 1,000 pages, but not all people.
That's true.
What range
are you? The shortest plan was about 50 pages, I would say, and then the longest plan was up to 200 or 300 pages for just the plan, and then there's all the attendant data and background information that's included. So they can be quite long. I didn't actually literally read every single word of the comp plan. Yeah? Affordable housing was something that was addressed when we did the case studies and actually talked to people in a more qualitative way rather than just reading the plan. Reading the plans, there wasn't a lot of attention that I thought paid to equity, and that's actually something that I shouldn't have included and mentioned, that that was a lack of attention to equity considerations. You know, as I mentioned, they didn't talk about the differences between socioeconomic status and access. But when I talked to people in a more qualitative way, actually doing interviews with the planners and some of the other people who'd been involved in putting together the comp plan, they did talk about their concern about, particularly around affordable housing, and some of the different measures that they were doing to address that. But it wasn't as comprehensive as what I think we would like to see, and involving as many players or stakeholders from the community as would be necessary.
Thank you so much. That was wonderful.